This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 413. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also sponsored by Microsoft, your go-to resource for collaboration tools your company needs to be successful. Well, with Congress appealing Obamacare, what is a small business to do for health insurance for their company? Alternatives are coming up. Plus, are you having a hard time getting everything you want done in a day? We talk about the antidote to being busy. Plus, how to franchise your business and make a boatload of money. Plus, can only women mentor other women in business? What about men mentoring other women? But first, we are now at the cusp of swearing in the 45th president of the United States. There is no question that this election, unlike any other, really has caused a huge divide, not only in our country, but inside our own families. I personally faced this divide as my family got together for Thanksgiving, with some of us having voted for Clinton and some having voted for Trump, and the question of whether we reflect the character of the politicians we voted for. We had to figure out, would we let the election come in the way of our family? Here to help talk about that struggle is my next guest, Tom Gagliano, who says he grew up as a self-described bully and struggled to overcome his own addictions. He's written two great books. The first one, The Problem Was Me, landed on the bestseller list. And his new book is called Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, The Cleanup That Can Last a Lifetime. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So why has this election, in your opinion, really caused such a divide, especially on the most personal level with our families?
Well, I think you look at the election. I mean, these were held by two people that were the least most popular people running for office. So what's happened in this election is whoever you liked, you hated the other one, and vice versa. And whenever anything awakens a lot of feelings inside, it becomes very personal. And you know, I know from my own clients, I mean, there are a lot of them that didn't go to certain Thanksgiving or holiday events because they were either asked not to go or they didn't want to be with other people that voted the other way. And when we start crossing those boundaries, I mean, that's really deep. That's deep, it's hurtful, and it gets personal. And I've always said this, you know, when we had Thanksgiving at our house, we made a rule with everybody, no politics. We will not talk about politics. Because, you know, when people want to be right at such a level, they're really not hearing what the other person's saying. They're becoming victims to the other person, no matter who you voted for. And when you have two victims, nobody's really listening. And I think that's what happened with this election. People just feel so self-righteous for whoever they voted for that they're unable to hear the other person's perspective. And when being right is the only thing that matters, you're not going to ever get close. You're not going to ever be able to talk about things.
But don't you think it had something to do with how divisive, and I guess, I don't know what the right word is, with Mr. Trump, you know, being a bully or being a liar or being a bigot or things like that. So it got very, very personal, especially with Hillary Clinton, to hang her up, to jail her and things like that. So more than ever, it really got down to personal characters. So people were drawn in.
Yeah, but, you know, when you look at personal character, that's a question on the way you look at that. I mean, you could make an argument for both parties that whoever you voted for, the other person had a lot of negative qualities. But if you refuse to look at the negative qualities of the other person, you're really not looking at it from a very fair level. I mean, certainly Donald Trump says a lot of things that are childish. He says a lot of things that are make him look silly, make him look like a little boy, make him look degrading. And certainly if you look from the Hillary standpoint, he is a very unprofessional, unpolished candidate. Now, again, you go the other way, and if you want to look at the Hillary piece of the things that she's done that are very challenging and borderline on legal or not legal, and she may represent herself as a much more presidential candidate, but she has a lot of skeletons in her closet as well. But I think what happens is when we get addicted to self-righteousness, we really, really hold on to it, and we can't see the other person. Now, I know as a recovering addict and as a bully, my problem early on is I was so addicted to anger and self-righteousness that I drank down a whole load of poison and hoped other people died, in a sense. And it doesn't work like that. When you become so self-righteous and angry, regardless of what the point you're making, you're the one that's going to suffer from that, because that's poison going down.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because we had to have in my family, we'd have to have a pre-Thanksgiving call, because my brother-in-law and my mother-in-law voted for Donald Trump and we worked for Hillary Clinton. And so the questions that we really asked to try to get beyond the personal was, we believe this is the way Mr. Trump behaved during the election. Do you really agree with how he behaved, right? And so I think that we had to have this conversation ahead of time, and then we did what you suggested. We said no politics during Thanksgiving, even though my mother-in-law tried to throw a bomb in there every once in a while.
Right.
So
we
it's probably good things. So do you see this problem really going on as the next 4 years unfold, or do you think that eventually families will learn how to deal with this?
You know, see, again, you know, when things get personal, and I think that's what's happened with this election. I mean, it really became personal to the person. The venom for the one you didn't want to vote for became very, very strong to many people. And I think that we have different sectors here. I think there are people that maybe don't like Donald Trump and wait and see how he does. And if he does well, they may start to like him more. And I think there's also people that no matter what he does is going to hold on to that resentment, because that's what resentment is, and self-righteous anger. It really doesn't become part of what you're angry at. It becomes part of a piece in you that you just don't want to let go of. It makes you feel better than in some way, in some form. And to people like that, I don't think it makes any difference, either if it was Hillary or Donald Trump who came in, as to what they're going to do. In fact, it might be even worse if the candidate does well, because then you have more to fight about.
Well, it's very interesting, because, you know, I'm one of those people that's very fearful of Donald Trump, and I really hope that in the end I'm the biggest fool in the world and he does do well. So I guess my question is, how do you start to have those conversations? Because I realize that, you know, Thomas, we're really within our own bubbles, you know, in our own bubble on Facebook and things like that. And there's a wonderful book that came out this year called Stranger on Our Own Lands. And people don't really look at the other side or sides. Would you suggest people start to have that conversation that isn't personal, that isn't defensive, that they can really hear what other people are saying?
You may not be able to, at least for a while, until you heal a little bit and calm down a little bit, because a conversation means two people are listening to the other's point. A conversation means I can validate the other person's good points because I'm hearing them and have empathy for how they feel. Of, you know, I know that, you know, you wanted Hillary. That had to be painful. I get it, man. You know, if Trump would have lost and I wanted Trump, I would have felt a lot of pain. I hear you. Or, you know, you're right about that point. That is something that Hillary would have brought to the table that would have, or validate or have empathy. If you can't do those things, don't have the conversation. If all I want to do is be heard and all I want to do is be right, I'm going to push the other person away. Now, this is even when our kids are our spouse. I mean, we could be doing this in our marriage. If all I want to do is be right with my wife, even if I am right at that those integrals, I'm pushing my wife away because she doesn't feel like she's being heard, validated. And the same thing with our children. You know, I want to have a home where my children could share their feelings. I don't have to agree with them, but I want them to talk to me about politics, about drugs, about sex, and about these things. And I need to be able to validate, not agree, but validate. I hear you. I understand how you feel. If I don't have that, what happens? I push the other person away. So in all of these areas, when you talk about communication, whether it is with your spouse, your children, or even in politics, if I don't have that ability, now I also need my boundaries. I should never be yelled at. I mean, if you're going to yell and scream at me, I'm not having a conversation with you. I'll wait until you're ready to talk to me. But if I don't have those tools in place, I shouldn't have that conversation.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it's going to be a challenging next 4 years because I think that we're living more and more inside our own bubbles. You know, Thomas, I used to think that when the internet came out, we'd finally have a truthful source. But now, unfortunately, everyone has their own truth and their own truthful source. So I appreciate being on the show. Where can people reach you if they want to get in touch and further the conversation?
Well, they can reach me on my website, theproblemwasme.com. That's theproblemwasme.com, and I'll return any messages. And I have a lot of very interesting parenting and intimacy videos on there. And you can also get my book on Amazon.com or on my website. And my book is The Problem Was Me. And my second book is called Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, because the cleanup course can last a lifetime.
I love those tales. Thomas, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll always talk about how women need to mentor other women in business, but can men actually do a better job? This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Morning, I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. Traveling through Lincolnwood, eastbound Toohey Avenue blocked between Kilbourne and Lincoln Avenue. That's all due to an injury accident. In Grays Lake, another injury crash at Belvedere. That's Route 120 and US 45. In St. Charles, there's an accident involving a police vehicle at Roosevelt Road just before Peck. And on Chicago's south side in the East Garfield Park neighborhood, Madison and Holman intersection is blocked with police activity. CTA rerouting buses around the area. Out on the Dan Ryan Express lanes, jammed out to 31st with an accident, taking out the two left lanes. Rest of the expressways and tollways are wide open. Partly cloudy skies today and high at 36. For tomorrow, MLK Day, a chance of rain, warmer, high 39. Currently 27. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You know, the world didn't stop while you slept. Get the first look at what's happening around the world and here at home.
Scene of a plane crash in the remote French Alps.
With Don't This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Bruce told CNN that he will follow the text of the law.
It's the breaking news and business information you'll need to start your day.
Here now with a look at some of the stories we're following.
Each weekday morning, starting at 4, right before Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I'm telling you right now, it's awesome. I was trying to get my blood pressure regulated, okay? And like after 3 days of taking this thing, my blood pressure went back down to normal. I am ecstatic. I am so happy with this stuff. It is my savior.
This was the first summer that I have not had to have a steroid shot to help me to breathe.
The reason why I'm taking it because I've got Hep C. Once I began taking your stuff, it took a few months. But believe it or not, my liver enzymes are way down and it's normal now. It works.
The new challenge will allow you to receive 2 months of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies free. And we'll even ship them to you free. Call now for details. Call 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
It's the most effective product that I've ever bought in my life, but I should have ordered it like 15 years ago.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, there's a perception out there that only women can mentor other women in business. But my next guest believes that perhaps men can do just as well and provide a valuable perspective in the process Dr. David Smith, Ph.D., is an active duty U.S. Naval Captain and Associate Professor of Sociology in the Department of Leadership, Ethics, and Law at the U.S. Naval Academy. He's also co-author of a book called Athena Rising, How and Why Men Should Mentor Women. A former Navy pilot, Captain Smith led both men and women in command of a squadron in combat and flew more than 3,000 hours over 19 years, including combat missions in both Iraq and Afghanistan. Dr. Smith, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
And I want to thank you for your service. That's what I was going to say initially.
No, it's our pleasure.
Thank you. So why do you think, you know, there's this thing out there that said, hey, we need more women in business because only women can mentor women. But you think that men can add a valuable perspective. How come?
Well, what we find is that often, you know, when young women are joining in these organizations, we're doing a great job of recruiting in lots of industries today, wonderfully talented women. And certainly, as we're seeing in higher education today with women earning the majority of bachelor's degrees and now graduate and business degrees out there, that's where the talent is. And so as they're coming in the front door, we're not doing a very good job of retaining them. And they're often told when they come through the front door, hey, go find a mentor. And that can be one of the greatest challenges they find when they come through that front door. They'll look around, and they're often trying to find someone who looks like them, another woman that they can look up to, it looks like a role model to them, which is great. And female-to-female mentoring is wonderful out there when you can find that and very effective. The challenge is sometimes in some of these more traditionally male organizations and industries today that there just aren't that many senior women around. And if they are, there's just not enough of them out there to mentor all these, the growing number of junior women coming up through the ranks. And as we all know, for senior men and senior women, they're fairly busy. They have busy lives and lots of things going on. And yes, they are engaged for the most part in mentoring others. But they can't necessarily mentor all these senior women can't mentor all the other junior women coming in through the door. So it leads us to believe, well, why not men? Why shouldn't men be able to mentor young women in the same way that they mentor young men out there?
So Dr. Smith, I guess you saw a lot of this in the Navy because it's predominantly, you know, a male organization. Were men there reluctant to mentor women?
Yes, and I came up through the ranks in the years of gender integration in the military and the Navy as well. And we saw this where, again, as women were coming in through the ranks and coming up, that there were perceptions out there and reasons why men were reluctant to mentor women. You know, in the book, we talk about this as the reluctant male syndrome. And it's really a host of reasons, and it can vary depending on the person. But as I said, sometimes it's just perceptions and how we view others, and in particular for men looking at women, depending on how they were raised and socialized, they may look at them as not able to stand up to the challenges and the rigors of the job, and so we may not see them as the competent people that they are, that are ready for the challenges ahead, and so therefore not willing to invest the time to mentor, and we all know that mentoring takes a good deal of time out there. You know, other perceptions may be that worried about look at how others are looking at it. So your peers, colleagues, coworkers, how are they going to perceive you as a senior man mentoring a junior woman? And that's certainly a realistic concern for senior men who might want to be engaged in mentoring these junior women. The other thing is with cross-gender relationships, we find that, you know, as men, we often are very comfortable as we think about a lot of our personal relationships related to family, with our spouses, with our daughters, our mothers, and certainly that those are all very common. But as we get into the work environment and the professional relationship, and now trying to have a professional and intimate mentoring relationship, that can be a challenge because in many ways, men. Men don't know how to do that. We don't necessarily have the script to go with that. And so that can cause a little bit of anxiety for some men, and there are ways to get through that.
I would agree.
So there's a host of reasons out there why there are different perceptions out there. And we may even be concerned if we do have a spouse or partner that what will they think if we're spending all this time with this junior mentee, this junior woman, if we're doing that at work. So lots of concerns and certainly valid concerns that should be addressed. And we need to have a conversation and engagement in this conversation.
We're talking with Dr. David Smith. He's an active duty U.S. Navy captain and associate professor of sociology and Department of Leadership, Ethics, and Law at the U.S. Naval Academy. He's got a book out. It's called The Athena Rising, How and Why Men Should Mentor Women. So if men do want to take on this role of mentoring women, how do you go about doing it well?
And that's a great question, and one that's the message that we really want to get out to men out there today. And kind of get over some of these, how do we get over the perception of how we see women and how can we see them? And that's where we came up with the term Athenas. And in particular here at the Naval Academy, with the rising young women coming through the ranks, and certainly the goddess Athena conjures up the thoughts about the goddess of wisdom and war and reason. And we think that's an appropriate way to think about rising women coming up through the ranks, again, as competent, talented people who are up for the challenge and can do these things. So as men think about how they're going to mentor junior women, you know, one of the things we talk to guys about is you need to approach that relationship with a little bit of humility. And for some of us, that might be a challenge, but we talk about this in terms of gender humility in particular, in that we may have a lot to learn from our mentee, and it's really interesting is the research that we did for the book and talking to all these very successful senior women and their mentoring relationships that they had with senior men is that a lot of the men also came back and said, you know, as mentors, we felt a little guilty because in some cases we felt like we learned as much or more from our mentees as they did from us. And that, in fact, is true. And one of the things that men need to look at this is a two-way mutual relationship that I have as much to gain from this as she does. And in terms of, again, working on interpersonal skills, working with a different group of people, expanding their own network and capital within the organization, and certainly an opportunity to kind of understand how a different part of your workplace population is approaching work and the challenges they might be having, or how could I be a better boss to these people. So when guys think about this, can't suddenly just approach mentoring women as, okay, I'm going to suddenly start doing this and be somebody that you're not. So it has to be real and relatable, and people have to know that this is not some sort of an act that's being put on, that you mentor talented people of both genders, of men and women, and they see you doing it and being transparent about it out there.
So, you know, as someone who mentors both men and women, do you do it differently, or are you just blind to whatever the gender is?
Well, certainly can't be blind to the gender, and I think that would be a disservice to your mentee. But in terms of how you approach the mentoring relationship, it helps for men to think about it in terms of treating her like one of the guys. That the things that you would do for men, make sure that you're asking yourself when you are doing something or not doing something for your female mentee, ask yourself, is this something that I would do or not do for one of my male mentees, and why? And we find that works. That's a really effective way to approach it. Now, what we find is that both men and women, in their career ambitions and their goals in life, they tend to be more similar than they are different. Do we have different challenges? Certainly. And certainly our approaches to work and life and how we balance those things and our goals with life might be a little bit differently, and we need to take those into account because everybody's unique and different. And so gender is just one of those different aspects about that makes us a little bit different and unique. And so, but in general, I think if we approach each other that, hey, we're more the same than we are different, I think that works out much better for everyone.
Well, Dr. Smith, thanks for being on the show. And if you want to reach Dr. Smith, you can go to www.davidgsmithphd.com. Thank you so much again, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Barry. It's been a pleasure.
Coming up, are you having a hard time getting everything you want done in a day? My solutions are straight ahead. This is AM 560, The Answer. Be right back.
You need to understand that the way you build wealth is you do not use the evening news or CNN or Fox to set the tone of your emotions around your investing.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're thinking of changing your investing patterns because you're watching the news, you need to turn off the news. You are in charge of your destiny.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. A slow-moving ice storm bringing a third round of ice and freezing rain today to the central part of the U.S.
It's kind of in the same spots where it was yesterday, and it is going to continue in the same spot for much of the day today. Temperature-wise, anywhere you see below 32, that means it's freezing when it makes contact.
Fox meteorologist Rick Reithmuth, at least 4 killed in icy road accidents. And Saturday Night Live is at it again.
Obamacare is a disaster, and I actually do have a replacement plan, okay? I just read about it this week. It's a terrific plan, just great. It's called the Affordable Care Act.
That's the same thing as Obamacare. And if you repeal it, 20 million people will lose their health insurance. I mean, people could die.
Listen, sweetheart, I'm about to be president. We're all going to die.
Alec Baldwin with his now famous impersonation of the president-elect on NBC. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. Traveling out on the Dan Ryan Express lanes are jammed solid out to 31st Street with a crash taking out the two left lanes. And then on I-57 coming in, the entrance ramp on eastbound I-80 is partially blocked with a spin-out accident. In Lincolnwood, eastbound 2E is blocked at Lincoln Avenue due to an injury crash. This report brought to you by CC's Pizza. Now at CC's, Kansas City Pulled Pork Barbecue, Santa Fe Chicken, and the Philly Cheesesteak, all three part of the Unlimited Buffet for just $5 and change, available for a limited time. Partly cloudy skies today and a high of 36. For tomorrow, MLK Day, much warmer but a chance of rain, a high of 39. Currently partly cloudy and 26. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Balance of Nature's Fruits and Veggies.
I had gout in both my knees, and it's gone.
Well, I'm pretty stupid. I should have ordered it, 15 years ago. It's the most effective product that I've ever bought in my life.
He had eczema on his hand, and it cracked for years.
He did anything from doctor, every cream, everything. And 3 months on the veggies and fruit, it was gone.
They're just awesome. They keep asking me, what am I doing? I told them what I did with my cholesterol. I had the blood test, right? And it went down 100 points. 262, now it's 162. Everything is just perfect.
Balance of Nature is celebrating its 20th anniversary by providing you the best offer they've ever given. 2 free months of fruits and veggies and free shipping. Call now for details. Call 1-800-2468-751. That's 1-800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
I talk a lot about the lies that we tell ourselves about getting stuff done every day. We lie to ourselves that there's not enough time in the day to get everything done we want. We lie to ourselves that we're too busy. What happens here is that people confuse being busy with being productive. Remember, being busy is just doing stuff, but being productive is getting the stuff done that will move your company forward. Here to help is Eric Bloom. He's an Amazon number one best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and president of Manager Mechanics LLC, a company specializing in IT leadership, business skills, and productivity training. He's the author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Productivity-Driven Success, Hidden Secrets of Organizational Efficiency. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hi, Barry, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
So what is your definition of productivity, and why are so many people getting bogged down in getting things done?
Well, when I think of productivity in general, productivity isn't what people are interested in. Interesting coming from me with a book on it. But what they're interested in isn't the productivity itself. It's what the productivity provides. So whether it's as an individual or as a small business owner, is what productivity provides, and this is its value. It gives you time, money, and resources to do other things. It helps you create new business models and come out with new products. It gives you advantages over your competition, but generally speaking, it gives you additional things to do. Now, or time to do things. So, for example, what it might be, if you can be more productive during your work time, then maybe what it's allowing you to do is go to your kid's soccer practice at 5 in the afternoon instead of continuing to work.
But there's so many things, Eric, that hold us back from being productive now more than ever because we live in an interruption-based culture, and it seems like our electronic devices constantly demand attention from us. How do we get past that?
Well, the main way to get by it is with a plan. In other words, is that I'll talk about email, for example, is that I'm one of these people that I'm working hard and an email pops up on my screen. You know, I'm like a dog with a squirrel. You know, squirrel, squirrel, mm-hmm. What's the email? And I can get basically immediately mentally interrupted. So little things is look for those things that interrupt you. For example, that happens to me. So what I do is I turned off I use Microsoft Outlook. I turned off the bell that comes up, the ding that says you've got a new email, and I've turned off the message that comes up on my screen. So therefore, I'm not continually looking over to see that emails have come and interrupting my train of thought. Then what I like to do is, once an hour or so on, is I'll batch my emails. So, all right, I finished that task I was working on, and now what I'll do is I'll work on emails in group. You know, they say that multitasking is a thing that people can do now. Well, you really don't. What you do is you single task and just swap from topic to topic. And quite frankly, some people do it better than others.
I think that multitasking causes brain damage because you can't get anything really done, you know, very, very well. You know, the problem, I think, is that we're so used to, Eric, being interrupted. When we focus for a certain period of time, it feels strange to us, don't you think?
I think it does, yes. But, you know, it's interesting is that it's actually one of the topics in the book. But what it is it's the difference between manager time and knowledge worker time. Management time is you're in a meeting from 9 to 10 and 10 to 11, and then you have a call from 11 to 11:30, et cetera. But when you're in a knowledge worker mode, which we all are as parts of our business, could be doing a new business plan or figuring out our budget, or in my case, it could be writing a chapter of a new book or a new training class, is that's about 2.5 hours. You know, you start by nesting of, gee, what am I going to do? What am I going to, you know, getting all those things related to the topic, the 3 emails, the book, your notes that are in your notebook, et cetera. Then you start working on it. You get engaged. After you get engaged, then you really get in the zone when you're in hyper-productivity. And then after that, what happens is you start to disengage and then eventually exit and move to something else. If you're interrupted during that middle time of high productivity when you're in the zone, so to speak, you may never get back that exact level of clarity and intense understanding of what you're trying to do. So just protect those times and build them into your calendar.
And Eric, this is an important point because as a small business owner, depending on how productive you are, that affects the rest of the organization, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is this because, you know, you're the thought leader, you're the chief cook and bottle washer, you know, you're the one running the show. Another thing that goes along that also is that they say if you want to make $1 million a year, don't perform tasks that someone else can do at $10, $10 an hour.
Well, the last question I wanted to ask you, you have a concept in the book called asset reuse. Can you talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. What asset reuse is think of the things that are inside your company now, your company's assets. That could be clients. It could be, I have a training company, so I'll talk in my case specifically as an example. I write a column for IT World or for whoever I'm writing it for. Now, or I write a blog for my website. It takes a lot of time to write that. So how many ways can I use that piece of intellectual property? Well, I've used it in a blog. Maybe I can use it in a keynote speech, or I could use it as part of a class, or I could convert it a little bit and use it as marketing material or build it into something else.
Eric, I got to cut you off there. Thanks for being on the show. If you want to reach Eric, go to www.managermechanics.com. Coming up with Congress appealing Obamacare, what is a small business owner to do about health insurance? An alternative is straight ahead. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanches with a look at your roadways. All of the expressways and tollways are wide open with the exception of the inbound side of I-57. Where there's a spin-out accident on the ramp to eastbound I-80. Crews remain on the scene. Outbound on the Dan Ryan Express Lane, a little bit sticky around 31st Street. That's residual delays from an earlier accident. And in Lincolnwood, eastbound Toohey Avenue, blocked between Kilbourn and Lincoln Avenue due to an injury crash. Another injury accident in Grays Lake at Belvedere Road and U.S. 45. And St. Charles crews are clearing an accident at Roosevelt Case, just east of Peck Road. In East Garfield Park at the intersection of Madison and Holman, heavy police activity, CTA rerouting around it. Partly cloudy today and a high of 36. For MLK Day tomorrow, a chance of rain, but warmer, high 39, currently 26. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Microsoft knows the only constant is change, especially when it comes to technology we use to help run our businesses. Technology should be an asset, one that helps you to anticipate, manage, and respond quickly to change. It should also help your organization reduce costs and get more from the investments you make. Looking at the new tools and services coming out of Microsoft, it's immediately evident that the company is revolutionizing how it helps small businesses. Microsoft not only gets what small business need, but also how they want to work. When it comes to growing with greater efficiency, Microsoft technologies such as Office 365, Power BI, and the Azure Cloud Platform are helping small businesses answer some key questions. One, how quickly can we get new employees up and running with the tools they need? Two, how do we keep up with the massive growth in data needed to do business today? Three, are we getting the maximum return on our technology investments? With Microsoft, small businesses get solutions that help them grow their business with greater efficiency by reducing costs and getting exactly the technology you need when you need it. To learn more about the Microsoft products and services that will help give your company a competitive edge, visit modern.biz today. That's modern.biz.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he's finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, with the Republican majority in Congress now repealing Obamacare with the first chance they get, where does this leave small business owners providing the key benefit of health insurance for their employees? Here with an alternative is Mike Ferguson, who serves as president and CEO of the Self-Insurance Institute of America, a national trade association that represents companies involved in the self-insurance marketplace. Mike, welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you, Barry. I appreciate your invitation.
So tell us about what is self-insured health plan?
Self-insurance really just means that if a company, as opposed to paying an insurance company to cover their medical expenses for their employees, decide to pay that themselves directly, either to hospitals or other providers, and they pay it out like an operating expense, much like they would pay other business operating expenses.
So how does this differ from traditional health insurance that most companies have?
Sure. That's sort of the traditional model for companies that want to provide coverage to if they have a group of employees, where they would go to an insurance company and indicate an interest in having coverage for their employees, and the insurance company would gather some information and quote them a price and for a particular policy, and the employer would pay a fixed fee to that insurance company. And in exchange, basically transferring the risk to that insurance company, so that when an employee goes to a medical provider and has a service provided, that bill goes for payment to the insurance company. Whereas in a self-funded model or self-insured model, that same employee goes to the same provider, incurs the same medical procedure, and the bill comes back to the employer, or more practically, most employers retain what is known as a third-party administrator to basically manage and process claims for them. And the employer is paying that cost directly as they are incurred, as opposed to paying a fixed fee to an insurance company and transferring that risk in advance.
So I assume this has good news and bad news depending on the health of your employees.
Yeah, well, it's clearly self-insurance is there is some variability in that. Since the major cost of claims is the claims itself. And so companies will need to recognize that. These days, in most cases, companies that go self-insured, they will do a feasibility study, which will include some actuarial work to sort of predict or at least forecast what reasonable expectations of claims will be over time. So companies usually have a fairly good idea of that. And also, to the extent that employers have long-term employees that have been with the company for a while, they're better able to kind of assess what their claims pattern are going to be over time. A younger workforce certainly has some advantage with regard to potential costs. But interestingly, that's not necessarily all one-sided. A younger population also does tend to incur some of the higher cost healthcare claims, such as costs related to maternity care with complications or automobile accidents, those types of things. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but that's certainly something that you would want to look at in terms of going into the process of considering self-insurance.
So do companies ever have, I guess, you know, backup or catastrophic plan? Because you could have one employee that needs a heart transplant, and that could end up costing $1 million.
Absolutely. Almost all smaller, mid-sized companies retain what is known as stop-loss insurance. Stop-loss insurance is exactly what you were alluding to, sort of a financial backstop. And basically how that works is the self-insured company would purchase stop-loss insurance with what are known as attachment points, or another word for deductibles. And those attachment points is where the insurance company will reimburse the employer for expenses above a certain amount. And those attachment points can either be specific,
meaning related to one plan participant, or aggregate, meaning expenses incurred on the total plan population. To use a real quick example, let's just say that a plan had a stop loss with a specific attachment point of $50,000. And to use your example, you have an employee that goes in and has a heart surgery and incurs $100,000 worth of medical costs. The employer still is responsible for paying those claims, but for claims in excess of that $50,000, which are eligible claims, they can get reimbursed from the stop loss carrier for expenses above that predetermined amount. So, in other words, provide a safety net or a backstop, if you will, for very large claims.
And so, Mike, which type of company is really a good candidate for self-insurance versus more traditional health plans?
Sure. I give you three considerations to look for. First is the company should have a strong balance sheet. That's probably the most important factor. Notwithstanding what I told you about stop-loss insurance, the company still has to be prepared to write the checks to pay the medical providers as the claims come in. So you want to make sure that you're in a position that you can pay those claims as they are incurred. So you want to make sure that you're fiscally strong. If you're a company that's struggling to make payroll every month, regardless of what your workforce looks like otherwise, you are not a good candidate for self-insurance. The second factor is you want to look at companies, I alluded to this previously, that have workforce stability. Employees that tend to be with the organization for a long term. Why? Because it's better. You're better able to forecast your claims going forward, and in turn, better able to structure your plan. The third is consideration is a little bit of an intangible one, and that is: is the company looking at this really the way it should be in a long-term financial risk management approach?
All right, Mike, I gotta cut you off there. Appreciate you being on the show. Coming up next: how to franchise your business and make a boatload of money. This AM 560 The Answer will be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Molt and get a free copy of the book.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
Dr. Amy has really helped me. After experiencing a divorce in my 50s, I wasn't sure how to handle the stress and changes I was about to encounter. I needed to find a new profession since my ex-husband and I had worked together at our own company, plus there were other challenges with our own grown kids, family, and friends. It was wonderful to have Dr. Amy's guidance through this difficult situation. She kept me on track and assured me I was thinking correctly. She made a very hard time easier, and I will forever be grateful. If you're going through some hard life struggles, I would highly recommend Dr. Amy and Associates.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit DrAmyAndAssociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates, empowering people, changing lives.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, a lot of small business retailers have the same dream. You see, they have this dream of creating a successful operating business, and then they sit back and franchise it and sell licenses and collect royalties and make millions of dollars. But is it really that easy? Here to help is Josh Brown. He's a franchise attorney and host of his own podcast called Franchise Euphoria, a top-rated podcast on iTunes. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Barry. Thrilled to be here.
So it really is that easy. You just create a business and franchise, and you just make millions of dollars, right?
I wish. I think a lot of my clients wish it was, too. No, it takes a tremendous amount of planning, a tremendous amount of processing, and a tremendous amount of organizing, along with proving out a business model before you can franchise.
So what is the right time to really be thinking about a franchise if you have an operating business today?
If you have an operating business today, a good rule of thumb is if you have a retail business, which you know a lot of franchises are brick and mortar businesses, is have at least two successful locations up and running. It's very difficult for a lot of people to go from one successful business to a second because oftentimes that proves out the flaws in the model. But if you can have at least two, and preferably more if possible, but at a minimum two successful operations going, that's a good position to be in where then you can think about multiplying that down the road.
And I think that's a really important point because people don't realize that, let's say you're the owner, you're the founder. When you're at one location, the business runs a certain way. But when you open up a second location where you need to have another manager, and as you mentioned before, process, that changes the equation.
Yeah, you can't, you know, we've come up with a lot of things and technology is wonderful, but you can't duplicate yourself. And the only way you can do it is through other people. And what entrepreneurs find is that when you go from one business to two, you very quickly learn the deficiencies when you're not there and the differences between when you are there versus when you have somebody there in your place. And as when you go to a second model and you can get comfortable with that and you can work through those scenarios, you can then do a much better job of duplicating yourself from the perspective of making sure that the people that you're getting in there are representative of the values of the brand, of the model, of the processes, and that you're fine-tuning those processes and the efficiencies. Once you start to do that, that is a great point in time to start thinking about franchising.
So, Josh, in the 30 seconds we have left, what is the biggest pitfall that a lot of businesses face when they go out and franchise their company?
Biggest pitfall is they go too fast. I call it the franchise graveyard. The franchise graveyard is filled with companies that, you know, like you alluded to at the outset of this segment, that they go, they dream of making millions of dollars. So they set up a franchise, they go through the regulatory process, they go through the legal setup, and then they go and they want to sell 50, 100, 150 right off the bat. It's a big mistake most of the time because just like with any business, when you grow a franchise business, you have to do it in a way where the first 10 to 15 franchisees that you bring in form the foundation from which you are going to grow. And if you screw that up and you get bad franchisees in there and you don't take the time and you're not clear on who you're looking for to be a representative of the brand, it can be very difficult to be successful in the long term.
Well, Josh, I appreciate you being on the show. And if you want to reach Josh, you can go to josh@indiefranchiselaw.com. Well, thanks for being with us on this week's show. I want to thank our sponsors, Microsoft and Nextiva. If you're serious about being more successful this year, you got to give me a call on my private line, 773-837-8250, or email me at barry@maltz.com. Isn't this the year that you finally get your business unstuck? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Hello, Chicago. This is Chris.